darlings. I'm Charlize, the founder of online storytelling platform Girls Will Be Boys, and this is Say It With Your Chest, a podcast which aims to shine light on the corners of important conversations which are so often missed out of the media or seen as taboo. This Girls Will Be Boys podcast offers you an opportunity to enter different people's worlds, share unfiltered conversations, and encourage our guests to say it with their chest.
From the minute I started to learn how to talk and walk, the way that I naturally talked and the way that I naturally walked or moved my hands or moved my hips or moved my neck, I was constantly policed. I remember the feeling so overwhelmingly before I remember knowing what it was. It was later on when people explained to me, oh, that's shame. I was like, oh, okay. So that's how I feel 70% of the time. It's something that I remember just feeling in my gut from a very young age. There are ways about the way that I deal with shame that I really admire, and there are ways about the way that I deal with shame that I'm working on.
So on today's episode, we have the spectacular Maya.
Hi.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Maya Memi, and I'm just generally a very, very, very bad bitch.
Period.
Yeah.
Oh my God, we love.
Yeah.
What an intro. Starting off strong, babe. And your pronouns?
She, her.
Okay.
Amazing. She, her, yeah. In terms of what I do outside of being a bad bitch, I'm an artist. I produce an amazing party called Pussy Palace. And I guess I'm just like, I change my job title all the time because, like, what do I actually do?
That's
I just
me.
Get paid to, like, bring people together and do, like, cool shit. I guess, like, I'm a curator.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you're a creator.
Yeah.
Curator.
A curator and a creative.
Exactly.
All of the above.
We love to see it.
And a cunt. All the C's.
Oh, yeah. My God, I love. Okay, so let's get straight into it. Today, I want to talk to you about how shame is used as a weapon of manipulation. So I want to talk about the different layers of marginalization that you have and how the world puts shame on you in order to get you to stop being who you are.
Right.
In those different places. So like I mentioned to you, I found your page because of a really interesting post that you made. And I just want to get into that story, so if you don't mind.
Yeah, so the post you're referring to was, I guess, my apology, even though there was no apology in sight. I was basically telling everybody to suck their mums for about 5 slides. But I got, like, cancelled on Sikh Twitter. I'm Sikh, a Punjabi Sikh. And I got cancelled on Sikh Twitter because I had made a joke on TikTok where I was dressed really provocatively. And it was during the daytime because I was going to DJ at a festival. I'm a DJ as well, by the way. I told you I do best shit.
You actually do.
So I was DJing at a festival. And so I was, like, broad daylight, dressed like a hoe, and had these jumke on, which are, like, these Punjab, like, Indian-y earrings. And so everyone was looking at me down the street, like, who the fuck is this bitch and where's she doing? Where's she going? And so I kind of felt awkward, so I got my phone out, and as I do, like, I deflect with humor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, don't mind me, I'm just on my way to the Gurdwara, which is our Sikh temple. And the point of that joke was really to take the piss out of my outfit. Like, you're dressed so slaggy, like, that's the last place you could be going. You know, I could have also said library, grandma's house,
yeah,
anything, but Gurdwara's what came out. Anyway, put that on TikTok, didn't think anything about it. I was then DJing at the festival, working the festival, and then when I look at my phone at home, it had, like, blown up, gone viral, and everybody is basically trying to shame me and saying that I'm, like, a disgrace and I shouldn't call myself a Sikh and just blowing it way out of proportion. And, yeah, I guess the post that you found was the post where I addressed it. I told everybody, wait till 5 p.m. tomorrow, I'll give you an apology.
Ooh,
and
scandalous.
And then I proceeded to just, yeah, I told them to fuck themselves, really and truly, with a very educational read.
I feel like there's a lot of conflicts and a lot of shaming that happens with LGBTQIA plus and cultures.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that is, like, one of the main things that is just seen to, like, be completely different ends of they're not supposed to exist together. So, like, what is your relationship with being Sikh?
So my relationship with being Sikh, it's so complex and it's so tricky because on one hand, it's like I have grown up, although protesting about going to the Gurdwara and being like, no, I don't want to go. I've always felt so safe and peaceful there. You know, when you sit me in the Gurdwara and I'm listening to the prayers and I'm listening to the Jani and I'm listening to, and I'm around my people, there is a real sense of peace that I get. And it reminds me a lot of my family and it makes me feel connected to my roots and to my blood. So there's a real sense of peace and safety that I get from it. But on the other hand, the more I grew up, and the more I stopped responding to the shame that I guess we're gonna get into and started just being myself, the less accepted I felt there, you know? I felt like my presence in the Gurdwara and in spaces that are religious has always been very conditional. You can be here as long as you don't act too feminine, as long as you don't talk too feminine, as long as you sit with the men where we want you to sit, you know? Despite the fact that you are so clearly uncomfortable here, you know, as long as you're swallowing it and you're just doing what the fuck we tell you to do, then you're good here, you know. And I guess as I got older, that was not good enough for me.
So you said about like the shame that was put on you. What limitations do you feel like your culture or being a part of your culture has put on parts of your identity?
I always, whenever I talk about this, I always like to first of all talk about the British Empire, because I think people look at me as a South Asian person and I get a lot like, oh, you must have found it so hard as a trans babe or a queer babe or whatever, because inherently they feel that my culture is queerphobic. But actually, before the British invaded, that wasn't the case, you know? Like, it was actually far more, like, in terms of laws and stuff and penalization, like you would be penalized way harder for having sex as like a cisgendered heterosexual couple in public than you would as like a queer couple having sex as public, because in public it was like not seen as deviant, and trans people, for example, were looked up to as like spiritual leaders and spiritual guides. So I guess the shame element of it is very much there, but I just want to stress that it's not something that's inherently part of my culture, or being Sikh or being Punjabi. It's very much a colonial import. But unfortunately, my people have been brainwashed by it. And so the shame is big, and the shame that I've been force-fed in my life that led me to being in the closet as a trans woman for so long, it comes from so many things, not necessarily just my culture as a Sikh Punjabi, but also like as a British person, as someone whose parents were very working class, you know? It's like all of these things kind of contributed. But in regards to my Sikhism and my Punjabiness, I guess particularly being Punjabi, there's a hyper-masculinity that is required of the men in our cultures. It's all about drinking and being a lad and sitting down while the women do the work and that type of thing. That's a big part of the culture. So I guess, yeah, I was told to keep within that space for a long time.
And what do you feel like was the pinnacle moment where you felt like you couldn't be trapped in that binary and also that wasn't who you are?
It was a gradual thing. So me going from being like a queer man, presenting as a queer man anyway, to finally coming out as a trans woman, that process was kind of gradual over like 4 or 5 years. And it started from the moment that I found Pussy Palace, which is a space that prioritizes black and brown, queer and trans folk. And so when I found that space, I was like, wow, this is the first time I'm in a space where I'm around people that look like me, but we're all just being free as fuck. And I'm able to be completely myself around these people and nobody's judging me. In fact, I'm being celebrated for it. So that was like a real amazing thing, but it was definitely a bit of a culture shock as well. So it took me about 4 or 5 years to really get deep into it and really like accept all the reflections of myself that I was seeing around, you know. I think for a long time I was like, yeah, this is my space, but I'm like, there was still a aspect of like voyeurism, you know? It was like, this is my space, but I'm also still kind of watching it from the outside because I'm a bit scared.
Uh-huh.
And then the moment that I decided, no, I can't do this anymore, I've got to come out, was when my friend and a regular of PP and an absolute legend in our community, Ellie Che, passed away in 2020. And she was a black trans woman, 22 years old. And when she passed away, I was literally like, okay, it feels like a disrespect now. Like, for me to have this air in my lungs and to be able to walk down the street and she doesn't have even the chance anymore. Like, for me to live a lie, it feels like a disrespect because my babes was really going through it to live her authentic self. And, you know, that's what we should all be really doing with our lives. So I felt like, okay, time's up, itch, like, come out of the closet. So yeah, that day literally was the day I started my transition. I got wax strips from Boots. I was a, like, blubbering mess, asking for where they were and shit, and everyone was looking like I was psycho. But I went home and I waxed my legs, and that was the first step, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's so, like, it just shows, like, how impactful people, because, you know, people are like, oh, this person's so inspiring to me, that, or like, they really made a difference in my life. But like, she really, really got you.
Yeah, you know, she really, really, really did. And there's so many things that I wish I could say to them that I didn't get a chance to say, but there's just so much that I've discovered since stepping into my truth, you know, and so many things that I know I could relate to her on now. But it's like, you know, it feels, yeah, it's bittersweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're in a place where you feel like you started something that is a journey of self-discovery, isn't it? Like, that's what we're all searching for. So
yeah, for real.
I wanted to ask if you were comfortable talking about your upbringing and how it was like in your family and what your relationship is like.
So my mom is like my best friend in the whole world still to this day, and I had a really good upbringing in terms of my home life. You know, my parents were together until recently, so there was like and they were loving. They were together and they were loving, so there was a lot of love in the house. But at the same time, being a trans person growing up, it was incredibly traumatic. You know, even though the environment set out for me was very beautiful, the messages that I was getting kind of, I don't even know if it was conscious, that the people were consciously giving me, but they were very traumatic to me, you know, because I think what people don't realize is, as a trans person, from the minute I started to learn how to talk and walk, the way that I naturally talked and the way that I naturally walked or moved my hands or moved my hips or moved my neck, I was constantly policed, like constantly told, well, you can't do that. What are you doing? You know? And it's like, I don't know how to be any other way, especially at the age of like 6, 7, 8. You don't even know how to put on different hats, you know? You're just who you are. So to constantly be told, whether it was out of, which a lot of the time it was out of a place of protection and care, or whether it was out of something a bit more sinister sometimes, I was constantly policed. And that was super traumatic, super traumatic. I say to people who question why trans healthcare and support is crucial, I always say to them, if it's a guy, a cis man, for example, I say, how would you feel if you were told that you had to go outside in a dress and talk like a girl and walk like a girl and sit with the girls and kiki with the girls, and that's what you had to do and you didn't have a choice in a matter? Like, how would you feel? And they're always like, I wouldn't leave my house. And I'm like, bro, but I had to.
Yeah.
I had to for 20 plus years, you know? And I think, so whilst my upbringing was really wonderful, and my mum particularly was so supportive of my expression and my femininity, there was always that element of policing that was coming from everyone else and sometimes her, but always out of a place of protection.
Right.
You know? So I don't really have anything to complain about too tough. Like, there wasn't abuse in my household or anything like that, but it was still incredibly, incredibly traumatic.
Do you feel like those times are like your earliest memories of shame and what felt like?
100%. 100%. I remember shame. I remember the feeling so overwhelmingly before I remember knowing what it was.
Right.
You know? Like, it was later on when people explained to me, oh, that's shame, that I was like, oh, okay, so that's how, wow, I feel 70% of the time. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, but it's something that I remember just feeling in my gut, you know, from a very young age. My earliest memories.
Do you feel like it's affected how, do you notice that it's had an effect on how you deal with shame as an adult?
Yeah. Yeah, I think I've now come into a place where I'm like, you know, which is why I do stuff like, yeah, meet me at 5 o'clock for an apology, guys, on my Instagram. And then I basically just do a 5-page, like, fuck you, you know. Mm. I think I've become a little bit combative and very defensive. And I think, yeah, there are ways about the way that I deal with shame that I really admire. And there are ways about the way that I deal with shame that I'm working on.
Mm.
It's like a, yeah, it's a double-edged sword, I think. Experiencing it from that young, I'm now at a place where I'm like, hey, people ask me all the time, how do you not give a fuck? And I'm like, because I just can't. I can't give a fuck anymore, man. I've been giving a fuck for 20 plus years so deeply to the point where I was physically getting ill because of shame and guilt, you know?
Mm.
So it's like, I've got to a point where I just don't care anymore. But at the same time, there are combative, defensive, sometimes not nice things that come with that I'm trying to work on.
I feel like commonly shame is, I guess, like you said, like it was coming from a place of protection.
Sometimes, not all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But when it is, even though it's coming from a good place, it's still shame.
Right.
So how do you, first of all, like differentiate, and like secondly, then deal with it? Because you're still the one that's left with the shame.
Yeah.
So.
Well, nowadays, as my adult grown woman self, I just don't accept it. I don't take it. And if somebody tries to shame me, you will know about it. Even if you didn't know you were doing it, or if you thought you were doing it out of a place of protection and it was okay, I'll quickly let you know, hey, you just tried to shame me. And I'll, next time you do that, I'll smack you in the face. You know? So people learn very, very quickly. And whether it's out of protection or not, I still feel it needs to be addressed, you know? Because like you said, whether it is done out of protection or not, I still feel it. And really and truly, the effects are still the same. So yeah, I just call it out. Now, as a grown person now, like whenever I see it or hear it or feel it, I call it out. Or online, for example, I get like hundreds of hate comments on across my TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, mainly about guys that want to fuck me. So I don't usually take it to heart. I usually take it as a compliment. But I've become very good at, like, if I'm not going to address it, if I'm not going to clap back, I can just let it go over me.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's shame that comes from, because like I said, similar to me, like you have layers of marginalization. So do you feel like there's any shame that comes from one part of the marginalization to get at the other, which is like another part of your identity?
Do you know, that's such an interesting question, because yeah, definitely. I mean, not so much anymore. I think, again, since I found Pussy Palace, I really embraced my Punjabiness and my brownness, because I used to feel a lot of shame around that. You know, also growing up as like, fuck all the queer shit. I just growing up as a South Asian person. We're so desexualized in the media. We're so put as the butt of the joke. You know, we're not in the media or in TV programs or films unless we're like the terrorist, the shopkeeper, or like just the dumb nerdy friend, you know? So I spent a lot of time feeling shame around that as well. And I did all sorts of shit growing up. I pretended I was half this, half that, half this, half that. I was biracial as fuck. Like, she's biracial.
No, stop. I've been singing that one morning.
That was me. Like, I was a biracial babe. So it's taken me finding Pussy Palace and being around people like Nadine Noor, you know, for example, who's the founder of Pussy Palace, who embraces their brownness so beautifully and so sexily that it just made me feel like, oh, okay, cool. But like, being brown is bad now. I'm here for it. So I think with especially in the queer community, and especially when I was presenting as a man, it's so racist as well. I was really struggling with that until I found, I guess, more people that looked like me, which is why I think representation is really important and an important antidote for shame.
Yeah. I mean, not to be like cliche, but what would you say to your younger self who was dealing with the conflicted shame?
Oh my God, babes, you're a woman, first of all, you're a bitch. So start there, figure that out ASAP, because you will, because honestly, you will, your world will open up once you step into your truth. And yeah, that's probably what I would say. You're a brown, bad bitch. Like, embrace it, embrace it. That's
when you, I was gonna say, when you fully embrace yourself, was there any, not backlash, but do you feel like it brought any shame onto you from places you least expected it?
I think there's definitely people in my life that tried to shame me, whether it was behind closed doors and to people, or whether it was directly to me. I definitely experienced, you know, members of my family, for example, trying to shame me and feeling ashamed of me and trying to project that onto me, you know? But it's not anything I internalized at all. Like, once I came out as a trans woman, once I really stepped into that truth, it was like, I let go of the shame, you know? So now when people try and project it onto me, I see it, but I don't really feel it. If anything, I feel anger, because I'm like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah.
And also I feel curiosity, because it's like, what are you so ashamed of? Like, are you wanking to tranny porn? Because there's something, I heard this phrase, yeah, where it's like, okay, if you put a room full of crack, no, if you put a plate full of crack in a room, the people that are going to have the biggest reactions are the crackheads, because they're addicted to it. So me coming out, anybody that has a super visceral, like, oh my God, my world is falling apart reaction, it's like, bro, this is resonating with you a lot more than,
right,
than it really needs to, because nobody's asking you to go outside in a skirt. So what's really your tea, you know? So I feel the shame. I don't feel it. I see it. But I have a lot more critical thinking around it now. I feel like I've got a clarity. So it doesn't really affect me anymore. Even though, yeah, to answer your question, there definitely has been people since my transition that, I guess, have tried to put that on me.
It's so interesting the way that you frame that, because it's similar to something that I had said that was basically around mental health. And I said that we need to change our, like, direction to being managing bad mental health instead of eradicating it. And I feel like shame is not on you. It will come to you whether you can't control it, but do you feel like you can control whether you take it on or not? Or do you feel like, because you said obviously people try and shame me now, and that you were shamed when you were younger. So do you feel like we just need to pivot to being able to manage how we deal with that shame?
Yes.
Rather than being like, everyone needs to just stop shaming me because people are going to shame you.
People are going to shame you.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's it. So I think that is, yeah, that's bang on. I think it is very much about making sure that, yeah, you're doing the inner work, the shadow work. And I guess the reason that shame doesn't affect me anymore is because, like you said, I've worked on my own internal shame. So you guys can't shame me about something that I'm not ashamed of.
Yeah.
That's not going to work. Do you know what I mean? So I guess, yeah, it is very much about that. It's about looking into yourself and fixing that thing. Because it was so easy to shame me before about my femininity, for example, because I was also ashamed of it.
Right.
You know, like, I was also, hey, you got to hide that. And I was like, shit, okay, cool. But now it's like, if someone tells me to hide that, I'm like, what the fuck? This is the best thing. Do you know how much dick I get because of this feminine, because of this femininity? Like, this is the best thing about me, bitch. Like, I can't hide it. I don't want to hide it. So I think, yeah, it's very much what you said. It's about working on yourself.
Yeah.
Which it also feels a bit stink, because I don't want to put it on the person.
Yeah, not to put shame on
yeah, like, it's your fault. Right. Why put it in shame?
No, it's not their responsibility, but it's just advice on, like, where do we go from? It's regaining control of a situation that really and truly you don't really have control over.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just the reality of the game. Like, if you want to beat shame, it starts from you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I have a question.
Okay.
What is one apology that you've made in the past that you would like to take back?
Oh my God, what a great question. I apologize to men all the fucking time for dumb shit. Because I really be getting with narcissists and like manipulators.
Oh, no, baby, no.
Like, they'll make you apologize for dumb shit. But let me think of one specific example. Okay, so I kicked this guy out of my house, yeah? he was supposed to stay with me like for like the weekend. And we were just going to have a weekend of like, you know, like smoking up, fucking playing PlayStation, like just decompress. We both needed it. And yeah, I just didn't like his, attitude. Like, I don't know, the way he was talking to me, it just, he was giving hot and cold, right. You know? And so after the first night, in the morning, I just woke up and I just felt like I'd just rather be on my own. I'd actually rather be on my own. So I just basically told him like, yeah, you need to bounce in it. Like, I'd rather be on my own. And then later on, like after we'd started talking again, like no less than a week later, yeah, I ended up apologizing for it and I felt really dumb about it. And actually, I take it back. I'm not sorry. If you're watching this, I'm not sorry, bro. I'll kick you out again because he was annoying me.
I feel like it's common to feel guilt when you have boundaries.
Yeah, that's literally it.
Yeah.
I love that you said that because I think recently I've really been trying to do that, assert my boundaries with everything.
Oh yeah, guilt comes with it.
Babe, and I'm dealing with that. That's what I'm dealing with. Yeah. That's what I'm dealing with. And I think especially where I went straight to men is because that is where I'm trying to implement a lot of boundaries because mm-hmm. I didn't have any. Before, especially at the beginning of my transition. I mean, I'm only like a year and a half into my transition, but right at the beginning, because suddenly all these guys are flocking to me like a bird of shit, I was like, okay, do whatever you want. Like, but now it's like, okay, nah, let's have boundaries, bitch, because you're going to get robbed or something. Like,
right.
yeah, definitely. I think I've apologized a lot recently for boundaries that I put in place. Mm. And always on reflection, I'm like, why did you apologize for that? That's
right.
Actually kind of dumb.
So. You meant it when you said it.
I meant it when I said it.
You just felt bad afterwards.
Right. You know, but still felt a lot better than I would have felt if I hadn't put that boundary in place. Right. You know?
Yeah. No, it's common. It's common.
Yeah.
It's normal.
You know? Okay, good. I'm glad all the boundary babes are feeling good. It's not just me.
Well, thank you so much. No. Coming on and chatting to me and just being open and honest and letting us into like your journey with everything.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
That's okay. Is there anything you want to plug or talk about?
Just follow me on socials, MyaMemi. Got music coming out at the end of the year and my own podcast, which I was speaking to you about off air, which is going to be, I'm talking to like DL down low men. I'm talking to like a different man per episode that I've dealt with. And it's like quite groundbreaking stuff because all the men that I'm talking to are like the very mandemy, you know? So it's a lot of shame that I'm having to work through with them.
So,
yeah. Got some tips for me, thank you.
No, amazing. I mean, I'll include that so everyone can find you, and thank you so much again.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Say It With Your Chest. If you're loving the conversations that we're having, make sure to rate us 5 stars and to leave a review wherever you're watching or listening right now. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe to all things Say It With Your Chest, and make sure you follow Girls Who Are Boys on Instagram and TikTok to know when the next episode will drop. See you next time. Insanity Group.